right, welcome back, everybody. The second hour of the Dollars and Cents Show. Dave Simons along with you. I'm a certified financial planner and partner of the Simons and Cordes Wealth Management Team, located within the friendly confines of UBS Financial Services, and of course, just an all-round nice guy. And I had led off the show an hour ago talking about my, you know, kind of sadness here, feeling a little melancholy as the Summer Olympics are winding down. And as we speak, they're going through all the closing ceremonies. It can get a little weird for me. I think every country likes to put their stamp on it. You get these weird creatures that come out and do dancing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Now, when they show the athletes in the stands and they're having a good time, okay, I'm done with that. But yeah, I admit, a little sad. Being the big sports buff and actually being in sports reporting in a different life. And I can tell you pretty much from 1968, the first time I remember the Olympics when I was six, all the way, of course, to this, and just can tell you so many events at all times. And I had mentioned earlier, one of the reasons I fell in love with it is my dad's personal connection to the great runner from KU, Jim Ryan. My dad actually taught him in college. And so that was kind of a special moment to say, wow, my dad knows that guy out there. I think it was 72 when Ryan actually fell, if I remember right, on the track. And I'd swear my dad was like half crying there. But anyway, but we come to another end. So bring it on, 2028. All right, folks, in this hour after we break it, in about 8 minutes or so, I'm going to do a tutorial on Social Security. And I know that sounds really boring. I'm not talking about a description of Social Security or how it's put together or anything like that. When do you take it? Do you take it when you're first eligible at 62? This is a big story for me personally because I turned 62 just a month ago, about 3 weeks ago. Now, of course, I'm not taking it because I still work and I earn money among the minimum, and so I'm not going to be penalized for that. And I have no idea what I'm going to be doing at full retirement age at 67. But let's just say I am thinking about retiring in the next year or two, and I don't need to take it at 67. Should I wait to get the biggest bang for my buck until 70? I'm telling you, it is one of the most misunderstood financial concepts in the world, and people make mistakes. Hopefully, when you make a mistake there, it doesn't so negatively impact you, but it can if you get it wrong. And I bring this up not only because I think about it now being of that Social Security age, but because of a video that that recently went viral. And it was just full of some horrible advice. And I thought, okay, that's it. It's got like millions of views, and he's not even a financial advisor, but it really touched some people. And it was bad advice. And I thought, okay, I don't have millions of listeners, but I have my own little corner of the world. And if I can just help a couple people out understand Social Security and when to take it, I'm going to do it. So when we come back after the first break, that's what we'll talk about. But until then, I'm still not done talking about the volatility of this stock market. And one thing, speaking of making poor decisions, oh my gosh, it happens every time. I shouldn't be surprised. It does break my heart. It really does. Giving into emotions as investors, oh my gosh, we are human, and that humanity comes out during times of turmoil. It also comes out during times of greed. So we have greed and fear, these twin evil emotions that can help us in some cases, especially fear. Keeps us from running right directly into a mother bear in the mountains. But fear in the stock market can be healthy in some doses, but if it overwhelms you, you will make mistakes that you will live to regret. And I saw it happen again during Monday. I actually didn't personally see it, but it's the reports that came out. 401k activity last Monday as the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished down more than a percent. Down more than 1,000 points. It was only down 2.6%. Now, granted, in one day, that's a sizable decline. It's not historic by any means. It wouldn't even show up in the worst 50 of all time. But we've had so little volatility in this market. in the last year and a half. People forget it's a real thing. It's common. It's just part of the package deal you agree to when you enter the gates of Wall Street. We have to remember that. And if you're a long-term investor, you put the blinders on. I know that's cliche. It's something that I've been saying for over 30 years as a financial advisor, but it still needs to be repeated because at the first sign of trouble, what people say and what they do can be two different things. So we get the report on Monday that trading in 401ks last Monday was eight times the normal volume. 99% of the trades were cashing out. 79% went directly into money market. That is a cash out. That is, oh, I don't like what I'm seeing. The world is coming to an end and I'm out. For a stock market in the U.S., it fell about 2.5%. Unbelievable. Another 20% went into bonds because bonds were actually rallying that day. Oh, okay, here's something that's working. You get so myopic in your viewpoint that you all of a sudden forget about long-term. And that's what 401ks are. If there's any investment vehicle that shouts long-term, it's your 401k. I understand if maybe you had taken too much risk in your IRA or in your taxable account and you're kind of being exposed as the risk level now has been rising in the stock market. Okay, you made some money, you're cashing out, you're moving over here. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what happened here. Long-term tax-deferred money in 401ks and investors, workers, were getting into their plans and cashing out. 99% of the activity last Monday during all that turmoil was basically either going to cash or into bonds. And guess what happened? Typically, you see that every time people were selling out at the lows. You know, I've mentioned this before. I love it. I apologize if I say it too often. I don't think I do, but I guess perhaps many of you have seen this quote other places. It's so beautiful. It's so apropos for what I'm talking about. And it is the great heavyweight champ, Mike Tyson, that great philosopher. Actually, he does have some great sayings. And he once famously said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. I mean, who better to understand that concept than the great heavyweight champion from the past, Mike Tyson? And I love to apply that to my business. Everybody thinks they have a financial plan until the bear market hits, until they figuratively get punched in the mouth by something that goes haywire, and all of a sudden, because we're human and the fear factor takes over, that plan breaks down. It's hard to stay with it. And it really does break my heart when I see that kind of panic. And that was happening in spades last Monday. I'm not saying that that was necessarily the bottom and it's all clear. But those types of investors who panic at the first sight will also typically get in at highs once they feel like it's the right time to come out. If anything, during times of turmoil when the market is falling that much, you might actually add a little bit more. And people say that conceptually. Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, I'm going to add some more. I don't want to add right now, but the next time we have a correction, market goes down 5, 8, 10%. I want to add more. And I'm telling you, folks, trust my experience, it doesn't happen. Well, I'm not going to add now. Market's down 10%. It could go down 20%. All the analysts that I read out there are talking about how this sell-off isn't over. And in fact, even the professionals have no idea. Nobody does. You can't time this stuff. So make sure you have a financial plan. Make sure it fits into your own risk tolerance, and I sincerely mean it. I know that sounds cliche, but take it seriously and stick with it and live by it. And in that financial plan, you have to stress test it. You have to say, what if this account that I have now fell 20% in a 3-month time? Do that. What would happen? We do that. We stress test our portfolios, and we'll show clients that. If your portfolio went down 10% or 15 or 25%, okay, let's talk about that. What does that do to your lifestyle? How does that change your income needs if you're still working? What does that mean? And we look at it. That's not a prediction that that's going to happen, but you got to stress test it, war game it. And hopefully the answer is, I wouldn't like it. It'll be sticker shock, but I'll still be okay. Then you probably have a proper financial plan. Part of that plan is when to take Social Security. Man, there's a lot of misinformation. As I promised, I want to dig into it because of a video that went viral that I thought could potentially do more damage than not by a well-intentioned person who's talking about Social Security, but I think could lead a lot of people astray. So let's talk about that when we come back with more Dollars and Cents after this.
Local insights, breaking news. KMOX, the news station dedicated to St. Louis and the region. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back, folks. It is 4:21 in St. Louis. This is the Dollars and Cents Show. Dave Simons along with you. Certified financial planner, all-round nice guy. Yes, 2 weeks in a row. My goodness, what is in the water? During the summers, I'm barely on at all, but it's one of those weird, quirky things. The Cardinals don't play at all today. And this is a recent phenomenon, which as a baseball fan, I don't like it. I don't understand. Sundays have always been in the summertime. That is baseball day, man. And to sit around and go, wow, my home team doesn't play today. So that's the case. That's why I am here. But of course, you can always hear Cardinal Baseball on KMOX. And that includes tomorrow. But for now, I have the mic for what, about another 39 minutes or so? And let's turn our attention to one of the most misunderstood financial concepts in the world, at least here in the U.S., and that is, when do I take Social Security? Now, we will make assumptions that you are eligible, you've got money coming, and you're getting close to that age, the first age, of course, being 62. And the reason that this is, somewhat personally interesting to me now more than ever is because I am now 62 as of a few weeks ago. I still work, so I can't really take it unless I want to take the penalty. And by the way, just so you know, if you take Social Security before your full retirement age, for me, full retirement age is 67. In fact, anyone born in 1960 and after, and I was born in 62, full retirement age is 67, so I've got 5 more years. If I take it between now and then, according to the current number, now this goes up a little bit every year, but you have to make less than $22,320, so you have to have some little part-time job somewhere. If you make more than that $22,320, if I made more than that now, which I do working full-time, of course, and I took Social Security, I would be penalized 50%. And by the way, there is no turning back. That is an irrevocable decision. I can't decide 5 years later, that was a mistake. I want to redo it. There is one stipulation. If you realize that you made a mistake, or let's say you are fully retired at 62, and then somebody offers you this great job a few months after you applied for Social Security, and you're going, oh, darn it, I'm going to lose 50% of the premiums. No. You can pay the premiums back and start anew, but you got to do it within 12 months. So there's a little use thing, but just to have all the knowledge and information possible out there, there is that. But it is irrevocable after 12 months. Okay, so I want to first declare to you who I'm not talking about here. I understand that many Americans, millions of Americans get to 62 and you have no choice. You would love to have the higher benefit at 67 and the highest possible at 70. That'd be great. But you have no choice. Let's say it's a physical condition that just doesn't allow you to work past 62. In fact, the last year or two, once you hit 60, 61, you were just hanging on, man. Just to get to 62 so you could finally get some Social Security. I get that. I'm not talking about you in this case. On the other extreme, by the way, are the very, very wealthy people where it doesn't matter. All right. You're like, oh, I know I could get the biggest bang for my buck, wait until 70, but whatever. I'm 62, 63. I'm going to go ahead and take it now. Yeah, I know it's going to cost me a lot of money, but it doesn't matter to me. If I got zero in Social Security, it doesn't change my life. Okay. I guess I'm not talking about you either. I'm talking about everybody else, and specifically those of you who are in or near that retirement age and can wait. You don't need Social Security to maintain your lifestyle before your full retirement age. Right now it's 66 years and 10 months, but I'm just going to round it to say 67, because that's anyone after born from 1960 after. So that's going to be the vast majority of folks here. So you don't need the money. There has been a video that's gone viral. The guy's not in the financial service industry. He actually seems like a pretty down-to-earth, nice guy. He's kind of a good old boy. And he's got millions of hits, and he's talking about how he's now 62 and he's taking it. And he actually called it a scam of people who are being convinced or told they should wait till 67 to get their higher full retirement benefit. But then he didn't really provide any advice. There were some assumptions being made, you know, oh, what if you died early and all that? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. What is life expectancy? Not when you're zero, not when you're five, not when you're 10. How about when you get to 62? Because when we look at full life expectancy when you're zero, that's going to count, unfortunately, the tragedies of young people dying of disease or car wrecks and things that they are more, things like that kind of happen to them with more frequency. Let's put it that way. They're more susceptible to it. So once you get past a certain life age, all of a sudden your life expectancy, it's starting to jump up. Right now, women who reach the age of 62 have a life expectancy of over 84, so more than 22 more years. That number, by the way, actually is down because of COVID, because of pandemic deaths. It used to be 85, or actually it's like 84.7. That number is going to go back up a little bit. For men, you reach the age of 62, life expectancy is 81. It was slightly higher than that a few years ago before the pandemic. Why is that important, 84 and 81, which, by the way, will slightly go up? Because there's a crossover. That's the thing. When you look at 62 and you start taking your reduced benefits, if you just wait five more years until your full retirement age of 67, you get an 8% guaranteed increase in Social Security every year for 5 years. Now, that's a simple rate. It's not compounded. If you did it by compounding, it's actually 7.4. But come on, over 7% guaranteed by the government? What else is guaranteed by the government? Well, CDs, if you have federal insurance. You don't find a CD at 7.4%. It's the best thing going. So if you don't need it, you wait and you get that wonderful guaranteed rate of Social Security till 67. But if you take it at 62, and then you compare that to the higher rate you would get at 67, the crossover is roughly 78 to 79. If you get to that age, 78 or 79, everything beyond that now, you will have benefited by waiting those extra 5 years. Remember, life expectancy is in the early 80s. Here's the other thing I'll hear people that want to argue against that. Hey, Dave, I understand, but you don't know my family history. And my family history is, we're like Mickey Mantle when he said if he knew that he was going to live this long, he would have taken better care of his body. But all the men in his family died in their 50s, which is true. Mickey Mantle unfortunately became a severe alcoholic, had to have a liver transplant, and died a young man. So if you're in that boat, I say, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Don't be so quick. Number one, You have no idea how long you're going to live. I don't care what your family history is. You have no idea. Whatever ails you now or what has ever been the gene that has affected your family tree in a negative way, who says that they can't discover that pill that extends the life? They do this all the time with medical breakthrough. Keep that in mind. But here's the most important thing. If you are the bread earner in your family, you are married, remember, you're not making this decision unilaterally. You have a spouse who might be younger than you. I'll just use myself as an example. I have been the high income earner because my wife, she worked and then went part-time when we had kids and eventually stayed home. So obviously my Social Security is much higher. I want my wife to eventually get my Social Security. I'm also 3.5 years older than her, and I'm a male, which means if you want to go by actuarial tables, she will outlive me. So I don't make the decision just for myself. More importantly, to be honest, I'm making it for her because chances are she can live much longer than me, and she's got really good genetics in her family. Her grandparents lived into their 90s. Her parents are still around. So that's something important. Don't just think of yourself. Folks, there are a couple more bullet points here as I try to convince you if you don't need the money for Social Security and you can wait until at least full retirement age, you do it. You'll thank me later. Maybe you'll send me a nice note when I'm 80 and you're 84 and say, thanks, that's the best advice I had. Whatever. But this is really important for me. I have no skin in the game. I don't get paid by Social Security. Tell people to wait for a few years. I'm telling you, my 30 plus years of experience in this and seeing full life cycles play out, and the data doesn't lie. You are better off waiting in virtually every case, and I will continue to make that case when we come back with more Dollars and Cents after this.
Everything St. Louis Cardinals. It's Cardinals Conversations. Use the Odyssey app or hear it on your favorite podcast platform. From game analysis, player and management interviews, it's exclusive Cardinals content from KMOX Sports, where the Redbird talk never stops.
All right, my friends, it is 4:36 in St. Louis. You are listening to the Dollars and Cents Show. Hopefully you are enjoying some of the information here. Kind of wild, 2 weeks in a row. That doesn't happen very often, especially during the summer. I don't know what I'm going to be on next. It could be a little while, but if you get my weekly financial newsletter that comes out every Friday, I always update everybody. And so if you would like to subscribe to that, please do. We have right now over 1,100 subscribers to it. Nobody's trying to sell you anything. Your email addresses are put on a blind template. I don't even see it. It just sits on, and it sent out blind carbon copy, so nobody else sees it either. And do with the information what you will. I don't give stock tips or anything like that. It's just a little bit of a microcosm of what you get on this Dollars and Cents show, including things like this Social Security discussion. So it's really simple. Just email me at david.simons@ubs.com. That's david.simons@ubs.com. You don't have to even write anything in the body of the email. You can just, in the subject line, sign me up for your commentary. And that's it. And you'll be added to the template, and you will get the first copy or first release on Friday. All right, back to the topic of Social Security, as I'm trying to make my case that if you can wait, you do. I want to be clear again. The disclaimer is if you can't wait and you get to 62, 63, and you just don't have other income and you have to take it early, I totally understand. That is a big swath of Americans. I am not talking about you in this case. It's everybody else who can wait, but for whatever reason, they're convinced that they won't get Social Security, or they have this thing about, well, I paid into it and it's mine and I'm going to get it out. And they have regrets later. You got to trust my experience on this. Now, if you're of a certain wealth, it doesn't really matter. I could show you the numbers and you're like, yeah, whatever. I know I'm cutting off some money here, but I'm just going to take it just to take it. Okay, I get it. But this is for everybody else. Now, I understand the legitimate concern that we all know that is coming, that's out there, that the Social Security reserves are supposedly going to run out by 2033 to 35. So let's say it's about 10 years. It's a theoretical cut of about 17% to your benefits. That's what's being reported right now. Those are legitimate concerns and legitimate stories that all of a sudden, because we don't have as much money coming in as we have going out, there's this misnomer that there's this big Social Security trust fund and like a hole in a boat. Or I guess it'd be the, let's put it this way. You have a sink that is stopped up, but now there's like a leak in it and the water's coming out and all of a sudden, oh, there's no more water in there. And that's how people see the Social Security Trust Fund. It's got all this cash in there, but it is leaking. And by 2033 to 35, it's gone. That's not how this works. We all who work have to pay that FICA tax, right? Right now, we have enough money coming in to pay current benefits, but we're on a crash course that somewhere in about 10 years roughly from now, we will only have about 83% of the funds necessary. So it will still be there, but it won't cover 100%. That's all factual, by the way. Now, whether it happens in 9 years or 15 years, who knows what's really going to occur, but we are in a crash course with that date. Let's be honest here. Do you honestly believe that someday the government's just going to announce, I'm sorry, you are 75 years old and you've been receiving Social Security of X amount for nearly 10 years, but we are now going to cut it by 17%. I am telling you, mark my words. You can come back and send me an email 10 years from now and say you were right. They're not going to cut your Social Security benefits. That is a non-starter, and that is because of all the Americans, especially in the future, because of the aging of America, who are receiving Social Security benefits and need it. That's where your voting power is. That's your voting block. I am not talking about those of you who are 40 years old or even 50. Especially 20 or 30, there could be some drastic changes that will affect the Social Security benefit page that you see now that is projecting the number. That could very well be reduced. I'm talking about the people generally 55, 60 and older. I don't know if you're 40. I can't guarantee it. And I say that because the Republicans and Democrats don't agree on much, but that's one thing that they agree on. And I'm telling you, there's no way that they are going to allow cuts to be made, drastic 20% cuts. You talk about riots in the street, especially, and not from whack nuts who just, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm talking about everyday American senior citizens, and you would talk about an economic collapse to take away 20%. They will cut other programs. They will do something with Social Security and say, you know that cap that we have right now, the FICA cap in terms of how much taxes that that your income level is, we're just going to blow that cap away. We'll either make it no cap, or we're going to take it from wherever it is today, 160 some thousand. We're going to take it to 500,000. I've seen the studies on this that you only have to do a couple of different things and you can extend the shelf life of Social Security for decades beyond until the birth rates start to come back in favor right now. Right now, this issue really is because of the baby boom generation kind of making this very lopsided. It'll start to circle back at some point, but we're talking decades from now, and that doesn't do us any good today. So folks, do not let the scaremongers out there tell you that you need to take Social Security as early as you can, because when this thing runs out in 2033, you may not have Social Security, or they may reduce it 17-20%. It is not going to happen. All right? Stop with the scare tactics. So now that I got that out of the way, listen up, you married people. I already talked about this, especially if you're higher earners. You are not making this decision for yourself. That's another thing to remember. I needed to repeat that. And this other thing about is, well, it's mine. I deserve it. And by the way, I have short life expectancy. I just touched on this. And I always say, you're dead. It doesn't matter. The heaven that I know, you're not going to sit up there and lament the fact that you should have taken Social Security earlier. If anything, if you've got a surviving spouse and you can still have that connection to the earth down there, you'd say, man, I should have waited. I could have helped my spouse out more, but I'm getting silly here. The decision-making of people who don't need to take it early and do it always falls apart when you have these discussions. So there are a lot of other things that I could talk about here of why there is no reason and you shouldn't take it early, and you should wait until at least your full retirement age, which for me is 67. Now, there's a whole other discussion. I could keep talking about this, and I'm not. When you get to 67, do you keep waiting until you take the full benefit at 70? I plan to do that. And I try to convince people, my clients, who don't need the money and can pull it from elsewhere, wait. I've never, ever had anyone come back to me 75 or 80 or whatever, say, I wish I would have taken it at 66 back then when they were full retirement age, and especially at 62. I'm so thankful. I hated waiting, but you know how fast time goes when you get older, and man, I hit 70 that quick, and this is really good, the extra kind of money that I get. By the way, I want to correct one thing that I said. You get this 8% simple increase in your benefits every year you wait. That is from 67 to 70. From 62 to 67, it can be around 7%, but it's not that fixed. It's anywhere from 5 to 8%. So I'm splitting hairs here, but you still get that increase all the way from 62 to 70. It is incredible. One more thing, and then I'll take a break and I'll be done with this discussion, is this crossover point to say, okay, when will it actually benefit me where all of a sudden I will be happy that I waited? Again, you can't look at your age zero birth date and say, well, for women, the life expectancy is 80. No, I'm talking about when you're 62 and your life expectancy is over 84 for women, and for men, it's over 81. The crossover point, using the current compounded numbers, is this. 62, if you're age 62, and you wait till 70, that's 8 years, your crossover is 83. That's not that long. And in fact, it fits right in the middle between men and women of just normal life expectancy. And I get back to you again. Well, I don't have life expectancy in my family. Yeah, but how do you know for you? And whatever ails you, who says they don't come up with some kind of a cure, which they are coming up with all the time? If you can wait, you do it. By the way, the break even from 67 to 70, that's where more people have that thought, is 67 to 70. The break even there is 82. 82, you don't have to wait that long, and all of a sudden you will have benefited by waiting a little bit longer. Okay, I literally could talk about this for a long time using my own experience and using just facts and figures. It's a very, I hate to say it's controversial, it shouldn't be, but it is, because you get into feelings and emotions and what I deserve and people believing conspiracies about Social Security is going to go away or the government's going to take it away, and it's nonsense. If you're collecting Social Security now or you're close to it, your benefits are not going to be cut. They will do all kinds of other things, because especially you have the voting power. We have the voting power. It's easily fixable. They will wait to the last second to do it. They will, because nobody wants to cut it. That's the problem. We all talk a big game, all of us. I'm looking at all of us. Not the government, all of us. And we point an accusatory finger at D.C. and these crooked politicians and all this Social Security, and they come around and say, okay, we'll cut your benefits back up. Well, you can't do that. Well, what do you want us to do? Or for those of you of higher income, we're going to lift the FICA limit up to $1 million. No, you can't do that. I make $500. Well, you want us to fix it, but somebody's going to get affected by it. So it will take some collective softening of some of our hardened thinking on this, but it can and is easily saved. But they will wait to the last second, probably till 2030 something. But if you're already collecting it, you're going to be fine. Final thought, folks, if you can wait, talk to your financial advisor, talk to your accountant, talk to all the people who are important in your life. And if you don't need it, don't take it until the last moment you can, especially if you're married to someone who could benefit from that higher payout. We'll be right back.
I'm Andrew Stolz, and this is KMOX. The voice of St. Louis.
Well, folks, it's been fun. Lots to talk about. Thank you for joining me. This is the Dollars and Cents Show, has been the Dollars and Cents Show. Don't know when I'm going to be back on again, but speaking of that weekly email commentary that I write, I always give a heads up when I'm on next, but no scheduled time at this point. Maybe after the baseball season, or maybe I'll get another shot. Who knows? But for now, I've just got a few minutes to leave you with this. Very important to understand this concept. Because we are human, we demand understanding in a very uncertain world. That's how we're built. And especially when our money, our net worth, a very part of us needs to feel safe in this uncertain world, this scary world. And when we feel that this part of us, this money, our financial well-being, is being attacked in some way, we see it losing its value. The fears, the emotional fear starts to take over, and it happens time and time again. And we start doing things that we regret later. I could sit here and give you all this analysis from various market strategists. I've got it, in fact, right here in front of me. I've got all this stuff that I'm reading it for my own edification, not to necessarily pass it along to you. I'm more interested to see what some of the people I follow are saying about this. And as usual, the views are mixed. I don't really talk about what others have to say too much because it's a guessing game. And I don't want people to start thinking, oh, okay, this is what I should do because of this is happening right now. You should never have a financial plan or strategy based on, oh, this is in the news right now. You won't even remember it 2 years from now. You just don't. 6 months from now, 5 years from now. If you have a sound financial plan, it is set up to navigate times like this. So we have all this analysis out there, but it leaves us wanting, and that's kind of scary in a way. So there are plenty of reasons to be concerned about the world and your finances, and there are plenty of reasons to say no, things are going to work out. The latter will happen, folks. It just will. If you have a sound financial plan and you don't give in to the 20 emotions of fear and greed, that plan is unbreakable. I leave you with that. Have a great week. Hopefully we'll talk soon. Take care.